Your Holiness, civic leaders, students, faculty, staff members, and community, on behalf of the University of Utah, welcome to this special occasion. We are grateful for this remarkable opportunity to host the visit of His Holiness, the 14th Dalai Lama. I also want to welcome those of you who are joining us by live streaming. We are very appreciative of your attendance and participation in this event as well. It is a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you to the numerous individuals whose collective efforts and perseverance have made this day possible. We are especially grateful to the Utah Tibet Foundation for bringing His Holiness the Dalai Lama back to our state, to Utah. We also want to recognize the Utah Tibet Association and all of the members of the Tibetan community who are here with us, and some of whom provided beautiful entertainment leading up to this event. Each of you, through your attendance here today, provides the means for them to accomplish their goals of supporting the unity of local Tibetans and of preserving their language and culture here in Utah. The University of Utah is committed to fostering reflection on the values of society while engaging students, faculty, and staff, and the larger community in conversations that lead to positive transformation. We promote diversity, equal opportunity, and respect for individual beliefs. It's therefore a distinct honor to share the podium with His Holiness, the 14th Dalai Lama. He has lived a life dedicated to those principles, and among many other honorable ideals. For the past 57 years, as a political refugee, he has continued to provide guidance as a spiritual leader for millions of Buddhists around the world. His Holiness has also peacefully raised awareness of Tibet and its people by generously sharing his teachings through his actions, public speaking, and numerous books. He has inspired religious and non-religious people worldwide. In recognition of his tremendous influence across the entire world, His Holiness, the 14th Dalai Lama, was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize and the Congressional Medal of Honor, Congressional Gold Medal, among others. I had the privilege of joining him this morning at Huntsman Cancer Hospital with several of our cancer patients as he greeted them and offered support. And I can tell you, His Holiness is a very special individual. So today, it is my special pleasure to humbly present him with the University of Utah Presidential Medal. This is the highest honor that I can bestow as president, and is completely appropriate to recognize his extraordinary efforts to engage society in important conversations that lead to greater understanding and enlightenment, tolerance, and positive transformation. So, Your Holiness, it's my honor to give you this, but we're not going to ask him to put it around his neck because it's heavy.
No. Not heavy. No problem. Oh, give me that hat.
Yes. Oh, yes. Visor.
It is strong light. This is very, very practical.
So it is now my honor and pleasure to introduce His Holiness, the 14th Dalai Lama, who will speak today on compassion and universal responsibility. Sir.
No.
Thank you. Organizer, she told us there's still people
waiting in line, coming in.
So then we thought at the beginning, let us start some question answer till you see people entering, coming. So, main sort of question answer is after my talk. But at the beginning, while we are waiting people, so some questions.
We have received a series of questions from via the internet, and so I will start with that while the rest of the people outside come in, and then His Holiness will address the audience. This question comes from a grieving individual, and he wrote, I recently lost my father to suicide. Can you give me some enlightenment on the eternal soul's journey after one takes their own life?
Sad. Now it is really got sufficient reason feel sad. But then think, sadness, will not bring your father
back.
So, for example, my own tutor, senior tutor, I received a lot of teaching and also received the highest monk
ordination.
So, while he alive, I feel some kind of solid rock which I can lean. When he passed away, I really felt, no longer I can so lean.
Lean on.
Then I thought, now that instead of sadness, that sort of occasion must use for strengthening my will, my determination to fulfill my late tutor's wish. So similarly, now here, you see, your case also. Of course, indeed, very, very sad. But now you should work hard and make effort, to fulfill your late father's sort of wish. And then some way, your late father knows about your sort of condition. If you remain very sad, then father also feels sad. So if you, in spite of that tragedy, you carry your life a meaningful way, full of sort of enthusiasm, then father feels very happy. So think this line. Then what happened after death? That's a more complicated now question. According to theistic religion, this life, this very life created by God. Then after death, a certain period, we remain in coffin. So if someone go to hell, then I think while remain in coffin, that's for a short period, good rest. So it didn't mean, so either go to heaven or go to hell. So those people who lead meaningful life, meaningful means if possible, whenever possibility there, serving other, helping other, if not, at least resisting harming other. That's the meaningful life. So, like your late father, I'm sure, you see, lead, I think, a meaningful life. In that case, now he will eventually reach heaven, like that. So, then those, I'll say, tradition, such as many Indian traditions, such as Jain tradition, Sankhya philosophy, and many others of the Hindu tradition. You see, we have, and also the Buddhism, you see, life after life. And also, before this life, there were many lives. So, there are some differences. So these, and particularly those traditions which have no concept of creator, but rather self-creation. So then, including Buddhism, Jainism, that kind of sort of the philosophical view. So therefore, they usually we call law of causality, no central authority as a creator, but one's own action, you see, and the, as a causes, and then action bring positive or negative result. That's causality.
Karma.
That we call karma, or like law of causality, cause, fruit, like that. So, and then basically, the life go continuously. And I think a major Indian tradition, Samkhya philosophy. And as well as Jainism and Buddhism, the self, no beginning, no end. When people reach nirvana, moksha, still the being there. So different sort of different answer, right, according to different philosophical views. Right.
Well, thank you very much. Let's do one more, and then I think we'll have about everybody in. One of our doctoral students, Rinchan Poonsook, would like to know, you have been a consistent supporter of the inclusion of science in modern education. What role do you think scientific education plays in universal responsibility?
Yes, I think it depends so what kind of science, one particular sort of field, then not much connection.
Connection.
But another way, like scientists who involve research about brain and about human health, then they showing genuine interest. Is how to keep peaceful mind. And then there, you see, they, through the experiment, constant anger, constant sort of fear, destroy peace of mind, and through that way, destroy our physical health. So then, such sort of researcher now showing interest about compassion, love. So, love, compassion is very much based on sense of oneness of the same human being. So, individual do not want suffering, want happiness. So similarly, the others also have same desire, same right. On that basis, develop sense of concern of their well-being. So I have many friends among scientists. Actually, last 30 years, I have sort of serious engagement or discuss with scientists in different fields. So many genuine scientists, their mind very open, very neutral, unbiased. So I think as a true scientist, I think that mental attitude is very necessary. With that kind of mental attitude, further research, further kasota. Further study or kasota knowledge, deeper way. If you certain level contented, then say, oh, that's our way of tradition. Then no further
progress.
So investigation, in order to carry investigation, so your mind must be open. And also it is necessary, skepticism. Yeah. That brings questions. Question brings effort to find answer. So if we contented, on our individual case, someone feel, I know everything, then no further progress. So therefore, I'm now 81-year-old person, but I always consider I'm student of those ancient Indian
masters.
Indian masters, Indian philosopher, like that.
Thank you very much. I think we now have the audience here, so I would like you to go ahead with your address. Go ahead.
Okay. Firstly, I want to ask you, with this matter, this hat, do you see quite smart or strange? Yeah. Whenever I talk, I give a talk, I always stress we are same human being. Audience, speaker, basically same. Emotionally, mentally, physically. And more important, everyone want happy life. Do not want problem. So everyone have the right to achieve that or desire or goal. So further,
if we go further,
entire 7 billion human beings, mentally, emotionally, physically, same. And the desire, all have same, and all have same right. Now, even animals also have that kind of desire. But emotionally, because of biological differences, emotion level, there are some differences. And mental, particularly intelligence, much differences. But desire for peace, happy life, even animal, small, tiny insects also have same desire and right to exist where, to survive like that. So, now important is, because you see, if you consider this speaker as something special, then my experience, no use for you.
No relevance. No relevance.
No relevance. If you consider me, same. Then some of my experience is it can be useful to the audience. And then also, you see, consider we are same. For my part, I never consider I'm something special, I'm 14th Dalai Lama. I never consider that. I'm just a simple Buddhist monk, another human being, out of 7 billion human beings. So then I feel very easy to communicate with others. If I stress, I'm something special. But then, when we met people, you see, there are some people, you see, they consider importance of their own position or something. Then formality or it's automatically come. Then formality is actually one barrier of close connection. Informal, completely. When we're born, no formality. At the time of death, no formality. I think between there, when we enter hospital, medical treatment, no formality. So, more serious sort of experience in our life. No formality. When we quite okay, then we consider formality as something important. In my mind, it is quite silly.
So there is a Tibetan saying that kind of self-imprisonment is like a spider spinning its own web and getting caught in it.
So we too much emphasis some minor thing. And that creates additional problem. Then on top of that, a lot of problem which we, humanity, now facing. So much killing and starvation. Same human being. Human being on the same planet. Very sad. Very, very sad. When we look television, some Middle East or Africa, children, due to malnourished. Oh, their face. They're so sad. And meantime, violence, bombing. What benefit? All this comes. We. And self-centered attitude. And don't care about others' well-being, others' life. So now, in order to tackle this problem, not through prayer, I think I'm Buddhist. In my daily practice, prayer also included. But for individual the prayer is relevant and useful. But for
society,
or society, or world, prayer, I think, not much meaning. One occasion in Hiroshima, some Nobel laureates peace sort of meeting. So some Nobel laureates and some organization who also just have the Nobel laureate, right?
Yeah.
Nobel laureate. You see, they mention peace through prayer. Then my turn. I'm quite skeptical. Peace through prayer. I think 1,000 years we pray. But not positive result. During war, I think both sides pray to God. Oh, yeah. And nowadays, we see Sunni, Shia, some sort of conflict. I think both pray to Allah. And sometimes I jokingly, of course, with my respect, jokingly, you see, telling both sides pray to one God. Then God, I think, finds difficult. His bless should go this side or that side. So then logically, if we have the opportunity seeing Buddha or Jesus Christ or Muhammad, ask, please bring peace on this planet. I think these sort of
teachers,
I think logically, we'll say, who creates violence? Who destroys peace? Not God, but you. So you have the responsibility to solve this problem. Since you created. So that's quite logical. So at that time, in Hiroshima, I mentioned peace come only through action, not through prayer, not through blessing. So then there are many Japanese, some I think local officials also there. They usually remain a little bit sort of
reserved.
But then when I expressed that way, they also
applauded.
So that's true. So now, this such terrible sort of situation which we are facing, if we not make effort with full enthusiasm, determination, this present situation, unhealthy situation, go continuously. Then this 21st century will be same century, 20th century. Lot of bloodshed, suffering. So, I think our generation witness what really happened in 20th century. According to some historian, they say, more than 200 million of people killed through violence. So if such immense sort of violence create new shape, better shape of this planet, and then we may justify, but that is not the case. So this beginning of 21st century, some pockets, some sort of violence, this, I believe, symptom of past mistake. And I think today's reality much changed. But concerned people who deal this sort of problem, yeah, still carrying old thinking. Whenever you find some sort of disagreement or differences, you see they relying use force. That's old thinking. The 20th century's
thinking.
Thinking that outdated. So now, You see, firstly, population much increased, and world, the economy, or the livelihood, very much interdependent. A global economy, you see, no national boundary. So that's the new reality. Now, in order to face this new reality, old thinking, not fit. Now we must create new way of thinking, more sense of global responsibility. I really, you see, impressed recently BBC reported many European young people, they express they are the global citizens. So that's, I think, hopeful sign. And I personally also, you see, come across in Europe, as previously, different country, even, you see, killing each other. Eventually, European Union created. Now, for example, one of my great friend, respected friend, as a matter of fact, almost my tutor about quantum physics, von Weizsäcker, a German scientist. See, he, in I think the 1990s, and he also quite old man, he told me once, when he was young German, in German eye, French is their enemy. And similarly, in the eyes of French, German is their enemy. But that kind of situation completely changed. Actually, the generation or the leader who implement the concept of European Union was start by De Gaulle, a French president, De Gaulle, and the German Chancellor, Adenauer. So when they are young, negative attitude. But then time changed. Reality changed. Then these two persons, I think, leading leaders to set up a European Union. So these, I think, really, through difficult experience, more mature, more realistic. So these ideas, these thinking, come. So therefore, I think time passes, you see, people talking more and more global issue. So when I think my own sort of experience, when I reached India, 1959, April, then main concern is those several thousand Tibetans who follow with us, the immediate sort of their livelihood.
Livelihood.
Then gradually, immense help or sympathy from Prime Minister Jawaharlal Nehru, Indian Prime Minister. You see, as eventually we settled. Project of settlement and also education to the children. So at that time, our main concern is how to create self-supporting community. Meantime, preserve our own identity, and then education, modern education, plus our own language or these things. And then we also created such a monastic institution to carry continuously knowledge about Nalanda masters sort of thinking. Like that. Now, so these are work for preservation of our tradition. Then 73, 1973, I had opportunity to visit some European countries. And also, you see, we are remaining in India, more sort of opportunity meeting with people from the West. And then gradually, we noticed the society where material sort of material facility highly developed. But people who in that kind of society, that kind of lifestyle, not necessarily very happy one. Some my friend, I think a billionaire, very rich, but as a human being, very unhappy, I notice. So therefore, material, external development alone, no guarantee or create happy human being, happy society. So then, at that time, I also, you see, start talking sense of global responsibility. You see, the sense of oneness of 7 billion human beings, on that base, develop sense of serious concern other people's well-being as your own well-being, like that. So therefore, then, you see, more wider contact from our own experience, how to develop inner peace. Then, of course, out of 7 billion human beings, over 1 billion non-believer. So the method to cultivate or to
promote
sense of concern of others' well-being on the religious base will not cover entire 7 billion human beings. So we need, without relying on religious belief, simply use our common sense, common experience, and particularly scientific finding. As I mentioned earlier, last 30 years, I have series of discussions with scientists. So, some occasion, the scientists, you see, through their own sort of investigation, what is the basic human nature? Then they concluded, use some different reasons. Then they say, basic human nature is more compassionate. So that really gives me real hope. If our basic nature is anger, then no hope. If basic nature of human being is more compassionate as a social animal, because the affection is the base foundation of our survival. So therefore, more of a compassionate mind here, physical, more healthier, more friend or friendship comes, then happy family, happy community. So therefore, you see, there is real hope. Now time come, we have to make effort the happier world and global level. That's the sense of universal responsibility, the sense of global
responsibility.
Now that key factor is sense of concern of others' well-being. So sense of concern of others' well-being. Also, you see, I think the best way to get benefit to oneself. Firstly, as soon as that kind of mental attitude comes, you see, you develop more self-confidence and enthusiasm, optimism. That brings more inner strength, inner peace. That gradually affect our health also, like that. So, we already now committed how to educate to children from kindergarten up to university level about these moral ethics, not relying on religious
approach.
So I think within next few months, we may finalize draft
curriculum
about the moral ethics, strictly not based on religion, like that. So we here, according to my own experience now, you see, we are same, but differences, you see, I'm now quite old, one elder way.
Elder
person. And also my life, you see, almost I think at age 16, I lost my freedom. Age 24, I lost my own country. Then over now 57 years, there's a lot of difficulties, a lot of sort of heartbreaking news from Tibet. A lot of difficulties. And then also, you see, when, as I mentioned earlier, when hearing or seeing a lot of problem, essentially human, our own creation. But these, you see, not causing depression or kasurta, mujiba.
Sadness, and depression.
Oh, like that. So therefore, I want to share, according to my own experience, no matter how difficult it is, we have the ability to keep inner strength. Now, how many Tibetans here? Raise hand. Oh. Oh, here. Most of you here. So, may I use a few words in Tibetan? So that's top secret. I think I speak a few words, a few sentences in Tibetan. Then if necessary, he will translate. Also puri, that page deva, la lo halong da tongra, the knees, the shechori, and then to the when I also miri rishun the chava, changing some of the devachi to the chavari. Also mirati, when I gang and chambo jita, when yanta tobo jig to zula, also they gave a mirror tree. Charging the samadana, also when I miriki, the nindu daya, miriki, namjit daya, kugoji chumbari. Lama give them at the diggy, jig jig, two The chess and the stars almost came up, sir. Choose the sources of combat, sing a lot of stars, sing the digaton, any change of the pitch, you might be in it. Go to change the pitch for that. Chanin, Kalayani, Denizigita, Chumbri. Read the tongue under the and then Nyandang to do the. Her zambuling gyoshibu shun dode ade ngen zonzo tenshilan shegiyo tenga pheoli ya ngazu pheobatso duksun gottumche duksen yayon kari yungu yami tonangkori chana yamare duksen dade varmazo dan daja ngazu nesu topdu shibudi wale ya dan zambuling shilol maha ngazu tenbarda nesu mongi tongbi wale dan digi ngazu namjo da ningdobdi pheke tenyaji da 닝도디 담고서 라랭게 하지 뒤줄 내서 저상 아주 미럽디 처지는 삼다는 뭐는지 랭에 싸게 미럽 소리지 처지는 삼다는 그 미리기 최다 리숑 뭐냐 자네 숭접지 하다 숭접성도 마세베 라수 라수디 벼버 찍을 마인 봐 뭐는 전부디 양된 대가라 뭐는 지 갈라 가서 편도 제대하지 뒤주실 내디어다 사진이 인데 그냥 아랭은 자신은 나 배워지리 어다 대기를 해야들이 대회 냠냠을 두 사연도 다정 안 뭐냐 다네 그 땡으로 시키기 난주 배배 신유 나라 삼급을 입고 쏘를 주베 애는 잠바도 자와서 이제 컨디션을 로브종 대고 유미 라는 컨디션 개고 유미 개진 시당을 니부 컨디션 땡고 유미 대주 대디 난주 흉나는 여대배 디디 최근 내주를 마셔보시지. 딘 전부는 찔러 코아질러 코아질 레레샤 코아디 멋이 뱉어냈다. 전부는 찔러야 지금 샴디 뚫어야 지금 아주 다 상단 뒤줄 레샤 자 이리 인류 아주 배워줘 안드부도 후다체들이 나 대통령이 상회 후다체 닝덕기 슈베 폼벌레 터그마레 닝덕기 자신미마 실리 자신한테 그리스도가 강에 들으시고 하래요. 뭐냐 전에 하성 님도 교배신 때되기 하래. 미러다 숨버 시버시 내되기 하래. 시 노중하다네 다 뒤다다 봐도 다 미러부카시 친사를 해야지. 뭐냐 전에 그 미리기 심슈울 때 뱉히는 교배시 때기도 가. 아니 그 미리기 아주 게이 아니 아주 리슘 상제배 최선이 너는 잘 너무 된다고 주고 말해 산재배 흉내 숨고 떠주 이거 패시는 아주 패배 라서 없으면 리스펙으로 돼야 되죠 만약에 패배는 정식이 남주시 여대와 뒤 다 남주시고 권지해야 돼 야그라 캐배 흉도 이득이 아니 리그에 남는 때네 냠십시야 다 리그에 남는 때네 즉 재주시야 된지지 그 여대와 시도와 자 드리 인류 다 사물로 뭐네 소소소 배가지인데 그다 아주 문제 있는 매부지 깔래 깨네 뭐라서 최대 직충 떠주 최대 떠주 심은 샤게 또 최대 샤대야래 자 니네 인도산에 어다 대대가 가서다 가서 우리 배 직충 쓰는 면도 어다 떠주 쓰는 면도 띵습지 여대배디 다 아주 따고자야 돼 백해 하신 분이 소수 미리 뽑아내야 돼 단대 디지털의 용도가 아니 저분이 찔리네 편도체를 해야지 그거 요하래 다 디지털로 찍기 비지르샤 선창수 선지수 비지털이야 도난제 아니 철 대비 연애지 매내지 배 날린데 캐버져 송식 떠줄디 아니 떠줄도 참아지거디 도난제 과실이 생과실이 죄송한 고수근 죄송한 내 되게 인식해놨는데 러빈 나 답보 로지 저질리 그 보지리디 나라 루주지 인사바제니 뒤주야나 그디니 슝드지 때 로송시되기 전 지난주에 아니 그디니 지 로지여야다 지금 그게 로리야 견줘야 어 드리고 돈 돈안잖아 야구래 애는 아주 건조된 주세니 부디 숨져서 예대부터 이디 최신 나눠라 짜증부시 득시하지 말이 롭송시하지 롭대부시 죄송아 이 차상으로도 롭수야 유구 말이 돼 이내 디나로네 그 흉 쳐다보던데 도난체 고소아 독수야 애는 아직 들어두지 시작하고충 애는 자연주에 대해 사진에 비교 쉬우시도 자연주 아메리카 용의 자연주 네 가서 솔 솔렉 살래
나래
솔렉 비찬즈 사제디 담근 노아민도 사자고 사중샤 죄송한 괜히 섭섭치야 그다치야.
So I'll very briefly summarize what he said. He's only was addressing the Tibetan people, saying that we, the Tibetan people, are really an ancient people that has more than 2,000 years history. And but in this long 2,000 more than 2,000 years history of our people, the current period is probably the most critical period the Tibetan people have gone through. And it is critical because the very survival or existence of the Tibetans as a people, as a nation, is under threat. But at the same time, it is also the critical period that has given us, our generation, the opportunity to demonstrate the strength and resilience and the intelligence of our people. Because in the past in Tibet, you know, we Tibetans have been often caught up in our own very small, petty disputes. The disputes between the monasteries, disputes between the different Buddhist sects and so on. And Tibetan people did not really had the opportunity to demonstrate its inner resilience. But the critical period, which is very tragic, but at the same time has offered our generation an opportunity to demonstrate the depth of our character and show our resilience. So this is something that we really have to remember. And then also, you know, one of the things about the Tibetan heritage is also, you know, we are custodians of a very important heritage coming from classical Indian Buddhist tradition. And this is a classical heritage that is not only of value for the Tibetan people, but it also has potential to make contributions to the larger world as well. For example...
And then, I think directly, now people from China, in China, now, about 400 million Buddhists there. So many of them really showing genuine respect, interest about Buddhism, which we kept over 1,000 years, which is direct link of Nalanda tradition.
And then to continue the translation, his students were saying that from his own personal experience, as he remained in exile and had the opportunity to interact with people from many different backgrounds and walks of life, he also began
now,
to...
Now time come, I think this matter rests here.
He began to appreciate the importance of the Tibetan classical heritage and also began to recognize what are the important offerings that one can make from our own tradition to the larger world. For example, in the area of promotion of compassion, understanding of loving kindness, and also the important role of that can be found from the classical understanding of the human psychology, the ways in which mind works. All of that knowledge coming from the classical Indian tradition and which the Tibetans have kept can be of tremendous, you know, there can be a potential to contribute to the larger world. And therefore, you know, he was advising the Tibetans to really be cognizant of this and also take pride in the fact that we are a people that are the custodians of this important heritage. And therefore, even though we are going through a very difficult, critical period in our history, we should not give up hope, because giving up hope has never really been a recipe for success. We need to keep our determination and we need to keep our courage. And inside Tibet as well, if we look at the history of our struggle, now from the 1950s, one could say that almost three generations have passed, but the determination of the Tibetan people and the spirit of the Tibetan people has remained very, very strong. And this will be the case. And one of the things that is sustaining the spirit of the Tibetan people really is the classical Buddhist heritage, which I could say is almost like the life force of the Tibetan people and Tibetan identity. And this is something that we need to appreciate, particularly the younger generation. And because the classical Buddhist heritage that we have, you know, received is a tradition which emphasizes the use of critical reasoning and critical thinking. And therefore, the younger generations can really appreciate this heritage and try to take pride in this fact And also, this gives our younger generation also the understanding of the importance of Tibetan language, because it is the Tibetan language that serves as the medium for this classical Indian and Tibetan Buddhist heritage. Therefore, we need to, the younger generation needs to continue to keep the language alive. In my own case, I'm 81 years old, as I said right at the beginning of my talk, that I consider myself a student. And this attitude of being a student is important, so all of you should relate to the canonical collections of 300 volumes that we have, not as sacred texts, but more as textbooks, and select some of the key texts from this and study them. And this, I think, is very important. And then, especially for the Tibetan community here, I can tell you that you have found yourself, although outside your homeland, but in a very beautiful place here in Salt Lake City. And I can tell you that when you made the choice to make Salt Lake City your second home, you haven't made a mistake. It's very beautiful.
So, I always try to share with public. Now time come, we have to make effort to achieve a happier world, a compassionate world. And this century should be more peaceful, more happier century. So if we make effort now, the later part of the 21st century can be more peaceful, more compassionate, more happier. If we simply, follow our old thinking, then I think miserable experience continues. So now, my brothers, sisters, now I think several thousand here, you should not think, oh, world problem is huge. I or one
individual
cannot do much. This is wrong thinking. The change of humanity, change of the century, the first individual start, one individual, try to develop sense of oneness of humanity, and on that sense of concern of well-being of 7 billion human beings, for that we must create peaceful world. And firstly, one individual should have that kind of sort of feeling or view. Then create your own family, within your own family, these sort of share these two things. Then one family, 10 family, 10 family, 100 family, 1,000 family. That's the way to change the sort of society.
Oh.
So that's the way I think in America, I always was telling the leading nation of free world. And then already in this country, already a few cities, they develop the name of the city, they call City of Kindness, City of Compassion. No other country has developed that, only in this country. So now, I think next week, about 200 cities' mayor going to meet.
In Indianapolis, conference of mayors.
Oh, yeah, annual meeting. So they invited me. So I'm looking forward. Already I think a few cities already have that name. I think that kind of spirit, should
spread.
In Canada, British Columbia also, really showing
genuine interest in these things. So then, different part of the world, if America is really make significant sort of effort, then I think many people, many country, I think eventually is a follow. Or recently, one meeting organized by American Peace Council.
United States Peace Institute in Washington.
Oh, they organized one meeting. About 14 countries, Arab countries, some African countries, where a lot of killing going on. So youth, about 20 of them, you see, come. And I really admired these young male and female develop desire or determination. We must make peace. We must make effort for peace under desperate situation. Some sort of through violence. Some there because of that.
Friends and families.
Dead. Such circumstances, some of these young people develop determination. Now, if this situation goes continuously, then no hope. We must make effort. So I really should admire. So there are people so really now committed making better world, peaceful world. So America, as a leading nation of free world, I think should make effort. And we just met governor and lunch together. So governor has mentioned the state.
Governor spoke a lot about the achievements and contributions of Utah state.
So now America general, particularly this state, as governor sort of said, praising, you must make effort to lead to lead this worldwide movement. Okay. But if those people who feel some interest about my talk, then try to implement and lead and try to make contribution for a better world. If someone who have not much interest, then it is your freedom. Should not consider something like a burden.
Should not consider it's a burden.
So whatever you like, or alcohol,
cigarettes, yeah.
Cigarette, or drugs, or nightclub, then up to you. Okay, thank you. Now some questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have time for a couple more questions that I'll ask. So this was interesting because at the University of Utah, many of us are involved in various aspects of research on global climate change and on pollution, environment, things like that. So one of the people has asked you, what do you believe to be the most effective approach regarding climate change?
That I don't know. I think better to ask some specialist about that. So certainly, I have sort of serious concern about environment. You see, because you see, this small planet, blue planet, is our only home. So if this planet, you see, what's the Ankasota, but there wasn't that much of a challenge.
It's damaged beyond repair.
Then no other choice. So this is only home. So we not only just utilize the natural resources, but also we have the responsibility to look after this planet. That I know, but the detail, I don't know.
Okay. Now, this is a question that I'm sure you must have been asked many times. So our final question is this. Do you think it's possible that you will be able to return to Tibet in your lifetime? What do you think about that?
Most of Tibetan, you see, I think except those too old, one my friend, now 98-year-old. So I don't know whether they can see, you see,
Tibet.
Tibet or not. That I don't know. I think otherwise, you see, most of us always feel, oh, one day will come our meeting with Xi Jinping.
Meeting between the Tibetans from the exile with the Tibetans back home.
Right.
So, and then I think one main reason is since 1974, we are not seeking independence. You know, there are several reasons. So we are materially backward. We also want more modernization, more material development.
Economic development.
For that, remain within the People's Republic of China. It's our own interest. Meantime, Chinese constitution also mentioned a certain right for different so-called minority. These rights implement fully on the spot. Then, you see, our main concern is preservation of our own identity, our own culture, these things. Then, economy side, remain within People's Republic of China. Then, suddenly, you see, we get a lot of money for further development. So, because, you see, we, 1974, we decided that. Then, 79, then Deng Xiaoping there, you see, Deng Xiaoping sent some sort of indication or message he wanted to discuss about the Tibetan problem with us. So then, my emissary met him. Then, you see, he mentioned, beside question of independence, anything can be discussed. So those realistic leaders thinking like that. And nowadays, you see, those narrow-minded hardliner, you see, they... Sometimes I tell them, they are not using human common sense. So sometimes I sort of mentioning some of these hardliners' brain, some part of brain which usually develop common sense, that part of brain missing. Time change, according to the time, large number of Chinese tourists
visit
different outside world, and also Tibet. So many Chinese tourists who wants to see visited Tibet, then they are sort of more because of the sympathetic attitude. And also they realize Tibet have their own different language, different culture, like that. And then, I have one story. I heard one occasion, some Chinese from mainland China to Lhasa.
Lhasa.
You see, in aeroplane. There are also some Tibetans also there. They notice two Chinese, one businessman, one official. So that official is telling as their usual sort of
version
or Tibet backward or something, and the Dalai Lama splitist on these things. So then the Chinese businessman who visit outside world So then he argued that person, no, I know, you see, the outside world sort of
understanding.
Understanding about Tibet and about Dalai Lama. So for some time, you see, these two Chinese, one official hardliner, one Chinese businessman who have more knowledge about Tibet, so they argue like that. So some Tibetan, they interestingly listen like that. So like that. So therefore, more and more Chinese intellectuals, some students, some professors. I think last about 4 years, we noticed about 1,000 articles wrote by Chinese, many Chinese, overseas Chinese, and also it's a few hundred within the China. So all of the 1,000 articles in Chinese language wrote by Chinese, all of them fully support about our middle wave approach and very critical about government policy. So these are, I think, healthy signs,
yes,
as a result of knowing more and more the reality. So things are changing, things are changing. So therefore, I feel that China proper, for their own interest, for their own future, the present, their rigid sort of system. And closed society is very harmful for their own future. So eventually, I think we'll change. That's my view.
Perfect.
And meantime, our friends, you see, whenever you have some sort of opportunity meeting some Chinese brothers, sisters, or businessman, or student, or some tourist.
Officials now.
And then tell them the reality. So like that. So I'm basically optimistic like that.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much for being with us today. What a wonderful experience to have you with us, Your Holiness. And now it is my great pleasure, before
Thank
we conclude, to introduce Pamela Atkinson, who is going to give us a report. Pamela is widely known for her humanitarian efforts in the state of Utah. Pamela?
Thank you.
I can sit. Sit.
I'm actually going to give you a financial report, but it's not boring. Let me tell you that right up front. We are so grateful to His Holiness for being here and for your words of wisdom. Those of us on the Utah Tibet Foundation have been associated with the Tibetan people here for over 19 years. And we love their gentleness, we love their kindness, we love their compassion. And we're always happy to be part of their life in Utah. So, don't you want to know what happened to the money that you paid for the tickets? Some of you paid $35, some of you paid $20. Well, how was that ticket money spent? So, let's just quickly look at the revenue and expenses for this terrific event. Ticket sales to fill this great building brought in $300,000. So, thank you all for buying the tickets. That was great. Appreciate it. Sponsorships from the university came to $30,000. Thank you, President. But you also know that with revenue comes expenses. And my word, do they ever add up? So we have the expenses for the venue, for the Huntsman Center, and it includes the rental of this excellent facility and also the operations and staffing. And then there's the equipment, and I do apologize that you had to wait so long to get through the magnetometers. Now, the fact that I can say that one word magnetometers, that's the new metal detectors, and we apologize that you had to wait so long to get through them. But they did of course, add up. Travel costs for our esteemed visitors. And so you're probably saying, okay, Pamela, get on with it. What is the bottom line of revenue over expenses? Well, the math shows that approximately, I'm saying approximately because you know how the bills come in, $94,000 was left. And His Holiness will decide on the disbursement of these funds to Primary Children's Hospital.
Yay.
His Holiness had a wonderful visit there in 2001 and was very touched by the children who had studied up on His Holiness and asked the most pertinent and straightforward questions. And number two, and this, of course, is near and dear to my heart, some of the money will also go to the homeless services here in Utah. Number three, the preservation of Utah Tibetan culture here in Utah. And number four, preservation of the Tibetan culture through the Dalai Lama's charitable trust. And this includes education, health, and social development. So I just have a question for you. How would you like to increase the amount of that donation? Having heard His Holiness's inspiring words, you know, the traffic is going to be pretty bad. So on your way out, how about stopping at the booths? Much merchandise is still there for sale, knowing that it will all go to the programs that are near and dear to His Holiness's heart. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pamela.
Yeah.
It's great to be with you.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you,
Your Holiness.
So, in closing, I just want to honor the sponsors of the from the University, the Office of Global Engagement, the AZ Center, the Global Health Center, the Hinckley Institute of Politics, and the Tanner Center for Nonviolent Human Advocacy with the Tanner Humanities Center. Thank you so much for coming. Out of respect, we would ask you to stay seated until we move the Dalai Lama, His Holiness, out of the stage. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. So, thank you. Good night. I think you already, I think, notice my knees, right? These are quite difficult. This, anyway, as a reminder, you are old person. But my brain or mind, quite clear. So sometimes, oh. You see, sometimes I mention, you see, even eventually this become worse, and on wheelchair I can come and blah 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 my talk. Thank you.